Welcome to the deep dive in buffering and urges. So let me tell you a little bit about what buffering is. It's an action we do, like overeating, when we binge eat, or when we're over drinking. And we do these actions so we can escape the discomfort of our thoughts and feelings. So what buffering does is it's denying you a lot of the possibility in your life, because when you are covering up your emotions, when you're eating through them, you're not experiencing the space where you could be examining your life and therefore changing it. So what you will learn in this class is we're going to talk about what buffering is and why we do it, how the brain works through this process. I'm going to teach you how to dismiss food urges and drink urges. We're going to learn about coping and comforting being the bullshit we tell ourselves as to why we're overeating. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's left after you end the buffering. So buffering is when we binge, overeat, or drink. And we do this all because we have an urge. So what causes us to overeat? It's really simple. You have a thought, and then you feel an urge to eat, and then you choose to eat. That's what's causing overeating, a thought and then an urge. And the problem is really that simple, but what most of us have been taught over the years is that this is a very serious and complicated issue. And what I want you to think about for the rest of this class is that overeating is really simple as to what happens. I need to understand my brain and the messages it sends me. I need to retrain it when it sends me those messages, and I'm going to need to learn how to allow a little bit of discomfort. If you will hold that line of thinking while we learn all of this, it's going to make everything make a lot more sense to you. So the best way for you to begin thinking about all of your overeating and your buffering is just, let's keep it super simple. Every time I overeat, it's because in the moment I made a choice to eat. That's all that's happening. It's not my past, it's not my emotions, and it's not my triggers causing it. It's thought, I feel an urge, and in that moment, I'm either going to decide to eat or not. So when we overeat, one of the things that we want to know is, why did I do this? Why would I be doing this? There must be something wrong with me. I must be screwed up. And what we'll do in those moments is we look back into our past and we start seeking out all the reasons as to why we might be doing this and what could be causing it and all this other kind of crap. In the end, finding out all of these whys ends up just complicating things for you. So you might think you overeat, you know, to deal with your emotions. It's because I can't handle being bored. It's because I can't handle being anxious. I'm so upset and I comfort myself with food. Or I've just always been, food is my friend. The only thing that ever makes you overeat today is your brain sends you a signal to eat because it's been wired wrong. That's all. You have some conditioned responses that are just thought errors. And all we have to do in order to end overeating is to recondition your habit thoughts. That's really all that has to happen. Because we always overeat because of an urge that we had in the moment. And in that moment, there was a choice. We're either going to eat to end the urge, or we're going to wait out the urge so that it will end. And that's how it all works. So overeating, it often starts with a past diet where you've had severe calorie restriction. So I want to explain to you kind of how did these thought errors even get connected into your brain. And the reason why I teach 2-2 is because I do not want you guys doing restriction type things. Now, I don't mind you restricting in the form of, I'm not going to eat donuts on Friday anymore. That's a form of restriction. You might be eating, let's say, a healthy bagel or maybe a bagel with some peanut butter. But I want you guys to be thinking about the difference between diets where we've deprived ourselves, we've put ourselves into real deficit type calorie eating, and the difference between like saying, you know what, I've had so much cake in my life, this one party, I can say no. So I teach you 2-2. Because what I want to do is I want to keep your mind and your brain in a state of just enough and normal hunger that your brain thinks is okay. When you stay in a range where the brain feels very safe with hunger, then it can use your body's natural stores properly to survive. But what's happened is in the past, most of us have been on some kind of bullshit diet that required us to starve and chew on our fist and hope that we wouldn't eat. And when the brain feels it's threatened with gross restriction in calories, it creates what's called an adaptive response. Your brain automatically goes into survival mode. It starts sending up urgent needs for food. It sends up the signals that are a replication of what worked in the past. So if you overate because you didn't want to be left out and you've been dieting all week and your brain automatically said, you've been so good, it will know the next time it feels threatened, oh, she, when she thinks it feels good, send up the food urge, allow her to want the food so that she will do it. So if you've overate when you feel stressed, then what happens is your brain will send up the stressful hormones and cues thinking it feels threatened, and it deals with the threat by sending up an urge to eat. So the brain views getting plenty of food in your body as a critical support thing, and it's going to form habits to make sure that you keep it fed. The quality of the habit, though, and if it aligns with, you know, the size you want to be and how much you weigh, your brain does not care. Here's what your brain cares about. It cares that you survive, and it easily feels threatened when you are not purposely going through your day, deciding how you want to think, how you want to feel, and how you want to eat in your life. So what I want you guys to really understand is that most of us, this like urgency when we want to eat, this urge that we feel, has come primarily from a time when we were dieting really hard, and during that time we would have a bad day, or we would have a stressful moment, or something would happen and our brain could not take any more. It felt as if it was under threat and that your actual livelihood was at stake. So it started increasing your desire to eat, because it's like, look, if you're going to be underneath all these stressors, you can't be in calorie restriction too. Like, you're going to have to eat something. And that's how a lot of this got started. So it doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean you should have never done those diets. It doesn't mean you need to have a boo-hoo party about it. It just means, oh, now I know why when I'm a little tired at 4 o'clock, I want to be face down in some potato chips. It's because my brain thinks, because I've had a day where I felt stressed, it's now like, oh, time to send a food urge. Oh, time to send a food urge. It's just working on that habit. That also means that if that habit can be created by your brain, it also can be broken and a new habit can be formed. So there are two steps to ending buffering, and it's just two things. The number one thing you have to do is you got to understand how the brain is working. And once you understand how the brain is wired, and that this is a very like, oh, this is just like a chemical process, this is just how it is, it allows it to not be so complicated and a big ass fucking emotional deal for you. And then you have to learn to how to actually have an urge to eat and now say no instead of yes. Because the urges are going to come and they will end whether you eat or not. So now what we want to do is teach urges how to end, because you're saying no to them. And eventually your brain will stop sending them. Right now what's happening is if you're saying yes to them, your brain thinks that's the behavior you would like to continue. So we have to just rewire the brain some. So your overeating or any of the buffering that you're doing, it isn't actually caused by your life. It's caused by saying yes to an urge to eat. You have this life that's happening and you'll have thoughts about it and all this other kind of stuff. But when you eat, I want you to remember, it's always because you feel an urge, and in that moment, you decide to eat to solve the urge. And urges are the only cause of overeating, and that's it. It will never be your bad day. It will never be a fight. It's not going to be stress, cake, sugar, the devil, a bad weigh-in, or mistakes you made with your kids, or even being too tired. That's not what's causing the overeat. That's causing stress on you, but it's not causing the overeat. The urge that you have from your brain and your choice to eat is the only thing that's happening. So the key is to understand what's really going on inside your brain so you can know with clarity and calm that nothing is going wrong when you have an urge to eat. This starts allowing you to separate out all that emotional thought work that you need to do about your life from your ability to stop binging, to stop overeating, to stop overdrinking and buffering. So your brain is just sending out signals for you to feel an urge so you can choose to eat. And it does this because it's been trained to do that. And the quickest way to end all of your overeating is to stop believing that things and people and feelings other than urges can make you eat. And this is super important. And this is why. You will always have stress. You will always have times of despair in your life. You're always going to have bad days. And you're just going to have days where you're just freaking tired. And if you think those things cause the overeat, you will always have to answer your urges with food. If you think you overeat because you choose to, then you always have a choice to eat or not. I like to tell people, it's like, you know, we want to say, well, I had such a bad day, or my chaotic life, and that's why I'm overeating. It's like, no, because if that's why you're overeating, then the only way to stop overeating is to have a peaceful life, to change everything in the world for you. And that's never going to happen. In order to end overeating, you have to, one, understand that you're having an urge to deal with some discomfort you're eating. That's all that happens. But it allows you to separate out your life so that when you're working on not eating, you allow yourself to start looking at your life and then deciding, do you want to change it? Do you then decide about your life? But you can't do any of that while you're eating. So you've trained your brain that it eats from emotion. And now we have to retrain our brain that it eats because you have an urge, and that's all that's happening. So I want you to think about the patterns in your life where you're eating because of an urge. A lot of us, it's every day at 4 o'clock, every time you get hangry, after a hard day, Fridays. Sometimes it's seeing your mother. Maybe you have anxiety about a work party. You're not a social girl. Your brain in these moments are going to produce dopamine when it senses a pattern that it's experienced in the past that you ate because of it. So if you at some point decided to have, like, to eat to deal with this, your brain says, okay, so every time that happens, I'm going to send up some dopamine. And that dopamine is going to cause you to have the urge to eat. And depending on the situation, you might even get a hit of some cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And that hormone will have a little bit of anxiety behind it. And it will have just enough to make you feel like this is really important. Not only do we want to eat, but we need to eat. Your brain is treating it like you're under threat. You need to do something. And the brain wants you to know this is a serious deal. It's why it sends you all this stuff up. It's like, girl, it's 4 o'clock. We eat at 4 o'clock. Don't you jack with my life by missing a snack. If you say yes to this urge with all of the chemicals in your body, then what happens is your body then says, oh, you're such a good girl. Let me give you some opioids. Let's put this on repeat. And what it does is that opioid that it releases rewards the behavior of having an urge and then eating. And it reinforces the habit. It's like, okay, when these things happen, we'll send up some urges and that will get us to eat. And your brain thinks that's a great cycle and it puts it on habit mode. So all of this is happening in what's called your limbic brain, which is your emotional and motivational control center. I like to call the limbic brain, it's your habit brain. I think it's a lot easier to think about it because Everything in there is to make all the things you do on a regular basis as automatic as possible. This is the part of the brain that keeps you alive. It allows you to not starve to death. It keeps your heart beating and your lungs breathing, and it's an important and vital part of you, and you can't be hating on it. In order for the habit brain to do its job of keeping you alive, what it does is it finds stories that work to preserve your life. It will tell you things like, this is the last donut you'll ever get, so you better eat it. Stories like that are what it sends up anytime it feels threatened. So let's say you're at the office and it's Friday and everybody's having a donut and they're free too. Your brain will panic if you're looking around feeling like, oh my God, I'm left out. Everybody is having the free donut social circle at the office. Your brain starts feeling threatened. It's like, she's stressed out. She needs to eat a donut. It's going to send up a story that this is the last donut you'll ever get, so you better eat up. The job of the habit brain, it just wants to help you survive, seek pleasure, and avoid pain. Your habit brain could give a shit about your weight loss goals. It has nothing to do with your higher self. It has nothing to do with like your wants and your dreams. All it wants to do is help you survive by giving you plenty of survival hormones, help you find some pleasure, and avoid pain. So your habit brain, it thinks that donut is critical to survival because you're stressed you'll be left out. It sends up dopamine to make you want the donut, and then it gives you a thought of this being the last donut to convince you this is the right thing to do. It doesn't want you to go through the pain of being left out of donut time. This is how all overeating, buffering, and drinking becomes critical to your survival. Your reward system in the habit brain, it's relying on all your bullshit behaviors of saying yes to urges that aren't getting you to your goals to survive. It doesn't know you have dreams and goals. It just knows you need to fit in with a donut. So the problem is this. Your habit brain is just sending thoughts and hormones through your body with no regard as to if this is true pleasure or just a temporary fix. It can't think like your conscious brain. Giving into the urge, what it does is it takes away the anxiety of the urge and the wanting from the urge. But what it doesn't solve is anything. It doesn't solve your need to work on feeling like you fit in without food. It doesn't solve you getting closer to your goals. Once you have the donut, you have rewarded yourself and it's very short-lived. You have strengthened the bond with the behavior of having an urge and eating. And then you're stuck with all the consequences of making a donut important, but not having the fun of being proud of yourself, having a good weigh-in, keeping up your momentum, being excited for your next challenge. You basically get a moment of pleasure with a lot of back-end self-judgment and pain about not reaching your goals. So the problem with humans, we have this boundless capacity to ignore our long-term implications for short-term effects. And this is really important because most of us spend way too much time wondering what's wrong with us and how this shit even got started. You don't need to know any of that. Here's what you need to know. The brain works to alleviate the desire to, like, knowing all of this stuff helps you, like, stop this like constant search for bullshit meaning. And that's really what I want you guys to take away from this. Just knowing how the brain works will like take some of the pressure off to figure out what's so wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You've ate and then you've been rewarded. That's all that's happened. And it can also be helpful to remember this. Any emotional relief you think you're getting from your overeating, now we're in the past, it's not helping you cope with your emotions, and it for fuck sure is not your best friend. You're not comforting yourself. You're just having conditioned responses to habits. You have to keep reminding yourself of that. You aren't coping. You aren't experiencing any emotional relief. You aren't feeling any better. If all that shit was happening, you wouldn't want to give up overeating to begin with. So your conscious brain is key. The conscious brain, or what we're going to call now the thinking brain, it's the front part, and it's the one that always decides to eat. So your habit brain, what it's doing is it's teeing up all those urges. It's just like, oh my gosh, here we do. We see this donut. She's sitting around thinking that she's going to be left out. I feel some stress. All right, send up the urge. Your thinking brain, though, is the one that takes the action or doesn't. Your thinking brain is the one that walks over and eats the donut, or the one that says, no, not today. And our goal is to learn how to spot your urges and get so familiar with them that you know when you're in one and what's, and like the normal things that tee you up, and then to not respond. And that's going to be your thinking brain's job. And that's all that has to happen. Once an urge hits you, you want your thinking brain to engage and allow the urge to be there. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in a little bit. But our goal for now is to watch the habit brain that does not have any reasoning skills about it like your thinking brain does. The thinking brain, I want you to think, is like the adult in the room. So for example, your habit brain, it's like a toddler wanting to eat candy all day long. Your thinking brain is the adult who says, hell no, you'll rot your teeth out and you'll never have a regular poop. So the goal is to allow your habit brain to function, for you to understand it, but then engage your thinking brain to make the decisions about what to do when you have urges. The abnormalities that you have with the dopamine and your reward center, all they're doing is setting up an urge. But you're responsible for whether or not you carry it out. The best mindset is going to be the one that takes full ownership. I eat because I choose to. It's not because of my emotions. It's not because of my lack of coping skills. It's not because I'm afraid of my life. It's always a simple choice of, will I respond to the urge or not today? So keep them simple, and they are a lot easier to work on. The more simple you keep these urges, the easier it is to work on it. The more drama you put around it, the more dramatic the journey will be. So why do we buffer? It's really simple. We buffer to make an urge go away. So buffering is the overeating, the binging, and the drinking. You have an urge because of some kind of a trigger. And let's discuss like what urges feel like and how they show up in your life, because the more you get to know them, the easier it is to see them coming. And the key is learning how to see and feel your urges first, so that thinking brain can say no to the urge. So here are some examples of urges so that you can see they're not overly complicated. Birthday party and your best friend is having cake. Ooh, I want cake too. The feeling, urge. The action, eat. The result, strengthen future wants. Here's another one. I arrive at home at 5:15 with my kids and I enter the kitchen. Your thought, I've been good all day and need a bit of peace. The feeling, urge. The action, eat. The result, reinforce a relationship between rest and food. My mom says, you were never my favorite. Your thought, I'm such a disappointment. The feeling, urge. The action, let's eat. The result, disappointed in yourself, and you become not your own favorite person. So we all have a voice in our head when it comes to our urges. All of those statements are the little things that I often like to just call the fat girl thinking. It's your urge voice. It's the sentences that your habit brain has learned, like cue up urges for you that make you easier to just respond. And when you have an urge, your brain wants to send you those faulty signals, those thought errors, to get you to eat. It just wants you to buffer. That's all the brain wants you to do. It feels threatened in those moments. It feels like it needs to have it. It's thinking something's gone wrong in your world. Your brain is just desperate to protect you, and it has a super good sales pitch in order to close the deal. So before you can actually start allowing and dismissing urges, you have to make sure you spend a lot of time being aware of what's going on. This is why I have you do recovery worksheets after overeats and some of the other PMP worksheets. This particular course has a lot of worksheets on just getting familiar with your buffering and with your urges. All of them, what they're doing is they're teaching you all the warning signs you get prior to any buffering or urge. We get them. The key is to start listening for them, figuring all of them out, so that you start giving yourself an automatic pause, so that when you feel that urge, you no longer respond with eating. You start responding with not eating. So buffering allows you to escape, but it does not deal with or face any responsibilities. Buffering doesn't create the results you want in your life. And buffering before and after always feels anxious and inferior when you're doing it. So no, here's the thing about coping and comforting. This is one of the biggest excuses I hear people use all the time. It's how I cope with my emotions. It's how I comfort myself. That is bullshit. You're never coping and you're never comforting yourself when you decide to eat in response to an urge. You have to start breaking the tie that your overeating is a big emotional deal. It is only about you having urges and you responding to them, and that's it. Your buffering means your problems get bigger, not better. Buffering means you have temporary relief that fools you into thinking you're doing something for yourself. You've got your problem left behind, along with some more problems you created for yourself from your overeating and unplanned drinking. Without an urge to eat, I want you to ask yourself this question. If I didn't have any urges to eat, but I still had my life's problems, would I choose eating? Like, if you had never learned to eat in response to stress, if you had never learned to eat in response to feeling let down, feeling bored, feeling anxious, would you like said, you know what? I know exactly how to deal with anxiety. We should eat. No, none of us would choose it. That's how we know we are not coping and we are not comforting. So buffering is just something that doesn't help you deal with your emotions or your problems. It's just a bad habit and it stops you from your goals. So I want to tell you some of the logic thought errors. Your brain, it loves logical reasons and it will habitualize even the errors. So in the moment, you have shit you tell yourself that's worked in the past that your brain thinks, well, that's logical. Yeah, who would want to be left out? We should just have a donut, a cold one at that. Like your brain, these thought errors are just going to sound so like, oh yeah, that's what we should do. Only because they've worked in the past. It's not because they are logical. And your brain, what it does is it connects times you've said, I eat because of emotion. It will send up emotional thought errors like, I've had a bad day, so I'll treat myself. And then it just puts it on repeat for an urge anytime you actually need some cope, every time you need to be comforted. And those restrictive diets that caused your brain to go into panic mode, they sent up urges with thoughts of, I'll start tomorrow. And that reinforced this thought as a way to sound really logical before any overeat. You're not even on a restricted diet now. And it will send up that thought like, oh, that's logical. Oh, that's logical. Simply because your brain doesn't want to be uncomfortable. So we have to break the tie. You must let go of the idea that overeating or buffering are how you cope or comfort with life. You have to decide, my overeating, my buffering, it's only harming me now. That's the only thing it ever does. You won't let your overeating go, I promise you. If you keep thinking, it helps you in any way, shape, or form. Why would you? You wouldn't. This is why you have to condition your brain that this is a bad deal for you. And the key is to separate your problems out. This allows you to start working on your life separately from the overeating and separately from the buffering. When you remove the buffering, you will be left with all the things in your life. And allowing yourself to be able to see all of that, it makes it super clear now. Like, you won't wonder what's wrong with your life. You'll know what's wrong. You'll also be able to see what's right. A lot of you are eating over the littlest bullshit in your life, thinking like, my kids are, you know, my two kids with their busy sports schedules, it's so hard. And you keep telling yourself this and eating. Well, if you weren't eating, you might actually notice you kind of like your kids. You don't want to use your kids as your grand ass excuse to say yes to an urge. We start allowing ourselves to see really clear what needs to be worked on, where we need to put our focus on, and what we just need to freaking start appreciating. You won't have the damage done by all that buffering anymore to have to clean up. That's why we want to break the tie. So many of you are spending so much time berating yourself, judging yourself, seeking out another, here you are in PMP and half of you are like, sometimes seeking out another diet. It's like, what if we just stop all that? If you stop all that, you have a life waiting on you to evaluate, to see, to decide what you want to think about it, to possibly change. You have all of it right there. And you can give up all this wasted energy and time you spend worrying about your weight, worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying what you did eat, worrying if you're doing it right. All of that goes away when you start learning how to say no to the urges. So it's easy to see that all that buffering and all that overeating, it's not about coping or giving you any authentic pleasure. It's eating to relieve the feeling of an urge. Your other problems and the rest of your amazing life, they're separate from this. But anything you keep doing repeatedly can eventually have an emotional hook, so you need to be careful. A good example is when someone who eats ice cream after they fail a test with their mom when they were a kid is just going to have ice cream with their mom. But over time, if every time they eat ice cream after something goes bad, it starts to feel like you're eating to make yourself feel good. In reality, you're feeling good because overeating quiets the urge for food. Like in your 40s, it's not about the test anymore. It's about, oh, I have an urge. I really want some ice cream. This is so intolerable. Now I'm going to eat the ice cream. You have this hook that is, oh, it makes me feel good. No, you know what it does? It makes the urge go away. That's what it does. And if it made you feel so good, you wouldn't want to quit the behavior. It's the same thing with smokers. A lot of people start smoking just to try it. Like, everybody else is doing it. Let me try one. Let's see what happens. But over time, smokers build a connection that they smoke to relieve stress. It never started that way. The reason why they think they're relieving stress is because they've been stressed and then they've decided to smoke because they had an urge to smoke. And that was all that was ever really happening. Quieting the urge is actually a form of stress relief. So you might form the connection between smoking and eating as stress relief. All that's really happening is you're quieting your urge. You're making the urge go away. You're not solving your stress. The brain chemical that's released by eating, it temporarily brings down your stress levels, as well as making the connection that eating and stress relief, they kind of go together. And once this connection is made, you may crave overeating more in times of stress than non-stress because of conditioning. It has nothing to do with it actually solving the problem. It's not actually solving the stress. So you might also have a strong connection to your buffering because during times of stress eating, it seems the most appealing and the most rewarding. Like if you've had a hard day, a pizza sounds more like a reward than just a few minutes of journaling. So you have to be like careful about it. This is why decisions ahead of time are so critical, because when you have these stressful moments, You don't want to be trying to also decide what's best for you. As we know, our habit brain doesn't care what's best for us. Our thinking brain, when we're stressed out, it retires that part. It's like, that's not a critical function. We got to keep the heartbeat going, and we got to crave some pizza right now. So I want you to know you're not broken. You don't have all these hidden secrets that are causing binging, that are causing overeating. You are just responding to your pre-programmed habits, the ones you've put on repeat. Something happens that triggers an urge cycle, and that's all. It doesn't mean you are somehow broken or that you're so dysfunctional that you cannot form a new association to your emotions. The more you learn to dismiss urges, the more you learn to process your own emotions, because they're going to be waiting there for you to handle, maybe with a journal and not pizza. And overeating is also not the only thing that gives you pleasure in life. So many of us tell ourselves, if I don't have eating, I'll have nothing left. You need to realize that is another one of those sneaky lies that your brain sends to you to keep you in this cycle. It's a learned story that seems so believable that you just keep doing it. But if overeating, and I want you to think about this, was your only true pleasure in life, you wouldn't want it to end. You'd truly have nothing left in the world. And this is how we know for sure it's not the only pleasure you have. You're ignoring the other ones because you're so focused on this one. It's something you have used as a temporary band-aid at best. That's all these urges are, and overeating. Any emotional relief you think you've experienced in the past or think you experience is not truly helping you cope or feel any better. Your biggest breakthrough with ending your overeating and overdrinking and binging will be when you realize that your negative emotions, they never get any worse when you don't overeat. Comfort eating is never actually comforting. If it's so comforting, you would never want to give it up. Overeating is just a fast way to create a lot of long-term discomfort. So we're going to take away the passy now. When a kid wants their pacifier, when they are upset, they aren't some emotionally needy child who's so different than all the others. How many times have we described ourselves like that as overeaters? We're just so emotionally different. We're so broken. Something's happened. We're not like all the other people. I'm the unicorn. Kids have learned that in times of stress, to go suck a passy. The habit formed. When you quit the pacifier, you have to stop sucking the passy. You don't talk to the toddler, meet their emotional needs in other ways. You don't sit there making them happy so that they never want the passy. No matter what you do, this kid is just going to want the passy sometimes. And often, it's going to want it bad for no apparent reason. Eventually, if you don't give in to them, they quit asking for it. The urge to suck the passy goes away. I've rarely met a 40-year-old still sucking their pacifier. If that's the case, they're probably into some kind of weirdness anyway. But one day, here's what happens with that kid. They eventually get upset, and something goes wrong, and they don't ask for their pacifier anymore. That's called breaking the urge cycle. That's what we want to do. We want to learn how to one day get upset, get stressed, feel depressed, be anxious, someone throw shade at us, whatever it may be. And we want to be upset and not want to eat because of it. We want to just figure our shit out. So saying no to urges is a 5-step process. And we're going to go through each one. The first one is you have to name all the bullshit thoughts. Most people go through life hearing thoughts in their head and just assume they're real. They just think everything they think must be true. They assume that these thoughts are their own and that they are believable. Even if the thoughts are harmful, we assume there must be a deep reason for this crap we think. The truth is, we don't have to believe everything we think, and that we would be, I'm just going to tell you right now, so many of you would be so much better off if you quit taking everything you think so damn seriously in your life. So we are going to name our bullshit thoughts. And here's how we're going to do it. You're going to view your urges as just worthless crap. They're just like junk. It's like neurological junk coming through our brain. And that's fine. You will not give the urges any consideration, attention, or value. They're no longer going to be something that's wrong with you. They're not even coming from you. They're just habitual thought errors. It's not like you're choosing these thoughts. They're just populating because at some time in the course of your life, they got rewarded. Of course, they're going to come back. And you're not going to fight with your urges and you're not going to argue with your urges. It would be just like with your toddler, with the pacifier. Are you going to argue with them? Are you going to fight with them about it? Or do you just like, no, it's a no. You're going to have to throw a fit, but it's a no. And you're not going to find deep bullshit meaning behind them either. You have urges. Welcome to being a human. And you will not try to make them go away. You are better than that. You can have some urges. Hell, most of us have had kids. Or most of us have had a mom. We've all had some asshole in our life. If we can do assholes, we can for fuck sure do some urges. So we're not going to try to make them go away. We do not need to. This is called being grown ass women. And here's how I want you to view your bullshit thoughts. Number one, they're meaningless. Urges don't have any value or significance to your higher self. The higher self is the one who's taken this lesson, the one who's writing down notes, the one that's going to do worksheets, the one that has dreams and goals. To her, urges are something that we're just going to not do anymore. They're also powerless. Urges have no ability to make you overeat. Your thinking brain is the one that always makes the choice. So we are going to own that when urges come, the yes or the no is all on us. It's nobody's fault. I'm not powerless to them or anything. I'm either a yes or a no, and I'm going to make a decision. It's as binary as that. They're also harmless. Urges aren't there to hurt you. They are not the enemy. They're not the son of a bitch. They're just there. They literally are just sitting there. When you start viewing your urges as non-threatening, it also has another benefit. It keeps you in a brain state that is way more conducive to dismissing your urges. When you're sitting around scared, shitless, and nervous about an urge, your brain says, threat alert, time to draw on some stress. So the stress will draw from all the resources in your thinking brain. And that thinking part of your brain, it's responsible for self-control. It's the one that says, hey, lower brain, you're going to not respond to this urge. If you stress yourself out, your habit brain sends the signal we need to close the reasoning brain down. All resources need to go to the habit brain because it's protecting your heart and your lungs. The last thing you need is your habit brain, when you're sitting in front of a piece of cake, to have all the energy and your reasoning brain to be shut down. Because your habit brain is just going to send you more BS thoughts to deal with. So you've got to not jack yourself up over urges. And step two, you got to be your own best friend. You have a version of you right now inside of you that wants to be healthy, who wants to lose their weight. I know this because you're listening. If you ain't listening to this, you're not hearing it anyway. Everybody that's listening to this, push play for a reason, because there's a part of you who knows they want to solve this. And there's the you who just doesn't want to buffer and overeat anymore. This is your higher self. We all have it. But urges, they don't come from your thinking brain. They're not coming from your higher self. They just come from your habit brain. And it will say things like, it won't matter, to shut down your higher self temporarily. I want you to remain aware that you are not your habit brain. Your habit brain, it has thoughts that are bullshit, but you're in charge. You get to counter with your higher self whenever you choose. You can also remember what you're good at to shut down these urges. When you realize urges aren't a reflection of your imperfections and all your negative experiences, it's so much easier to separate yourself from them. If you're not some broke-ass fool and you're just someone having an urge, trust me, it's a lot easier to think differently. So rather than focusing on what's wrong with you and how that jacks up your urges, you're going to start focusing on what's right about you and how you can use that to your advantage. Another way to be your own bestie is to do your daily journaling so you can watch your brain. Learning to watch your thoughts, even your non-eating thoughts, it's going to give you so much practice when urges start up. You journal and you watch the thoughts without judgment. So you're going to write it all down and you're going to let it get out of your head. When it's running around in your head, it's running around with the neurological junk. You might as well unload it on a piece of paper so that you can just look at it and be like, and these are just my thoughts. And you know you never have to identify with the harmful ones. So the ones that are junk, it's like, I don't have to be those. That's just stuff that's been in my brain. You now get to see them and you get to decide what you want to do with them. So the urge, it's a habit. This is step 3, stop reacting to them. So if the urge is a habit, your reaction is the choice. Most of the discomfort comes from your reaction to an urge. Your reactions to that urge, they're going to make them feel worse than they are if you aren't careful. It will take practice to move from willpower and resistance type thoughts to the allowance of the urge type thoughts. The thing is that when you argue with them, when you're talking back to your urges, when you're judging the urges like, oh, it's a bad one. Ooh, this one's heavy. This is a toughie. This is harder. When you're trying to figure out why you're having urges, or when you're trying to make yourself just stop thinking about it, you're piling bullshit on top of shit. The urge is uncomfortable. The rest of this is you dramatically increasing the likelihood of saying yes because you're making it harder on yourself. So we are not going to sit there and argue, talk back, judge, call the urge harder, call it tough. We're not going to try to figure out why this shit's happening, and we're not going to try to stop thinking about it. We're going to let it just come in and know that our thinking brain is the one who will always make the choice. I always like to tell myself when I'm having an urge, and the worst that's happening is what I'm thinking and feeling right now. It can't get any worse than this. This is all. And one of the things I want to say is, you might feel sorry for yourself or get annoyed because you're having an urge. And I just want to say it's okay. You're not going to just tomorrow start being like, I'm so elevated with my higher self. It's okay to have some discomfort when you want to when you have that urge, when you want to overeat. Your goal though, it's to minimize as much of the discomfort as possible. So you might feel upset. You might be annoyed. Just notice it and have compassion that that's normal. As much as you can have compassion, understanding of the process, and a willingness to not react to the urge, you'll see it gets easier and easier to pass through the urge. Not reacting also means you aren't going to remind yourself of all the failures in your past. Oh, they've been so hard in the past. I usually give in. And you're not going to worry about the next one. I barely got through this one. I hope the next one's better. Just stop that shit. You're just going to stay present in this moment and think about the possibility you have in this moment. You have no idea how many urges you're going to need to have before they get totally doable and lessen. So you might as well just quit obsessing about it. It's just wasted mental energy that you can use towards becoming the best version of you, not worrying about what the future version is going to be like. So step 4 is the new actions. This process, it's all about taking our old actions and reactions to urges and basically switching the model around. So essentially you have an urge and your model kicks in. You feel the urge and you're now going to just stop right there. So the urge is on the action line. And the new action we want is for you to stop, engage your thinking brain, and then you don't eat. So our old model is thought, like, it looks good, I deserve it, I want it, it's Friday. You have an urge, and then you reacted by eating. The new model is going to be the same thought, it's Friday, it looks good, I want that. You have the urge, and now the new action is don't eat. You start sitting with the urge. It's that simple. What we're trying to do is extinguish the action of eating with the urge. We want to engage feeling the urge and then moving on. We want to teach the brain that urges do not get rewarded anymore, that we just move on with our day. This sets us up beautifully to start changing the relationship we have with ourselves. You'll learn the thoughts about yourself that are no longer good enough. If you're not eating, you're going to see things that you think about yourself. You start giving yourself the option of, like, do I want to keep this shit or not? You'll start seeing the areas of your life you've ignored, and you'll start improving them or changing your perspective about them. You start creating the space to start working on a life you want so bad. You start giving yourself the opportunity to even think about what kind of life you want. So many of you are so scared that you won't know what you want that you don't even give yourself time to think about what you might want. It will be tempting to wait, though, for the right time to do all this. You're going to hear all this, oh yeah, this is some good shit right here. And you're going to think, yeah, that's going to be great. I'm going to start that next Monday. I'm going to start that shit tomorrow. I'm going to get on that. No, you're going to begin right now. You just have to wait for your next urge to come and say no. And that's the start. You don't need to clean out your house. You don't need to make any dramatic pledges to the world. You don't demand that everybody needs to support you now. And you don't even have to have memorized everything I've taught you in this course. You just have to remember, I have an urge. I don't argue with it. And I say no, period. Just start with that. It's simple, so I want you to keep it simple. You have an urge. You think not today. You wait. And you learn from what happens every single time you do it. So I want you to do it now. Do not give in to the urge to wait another day, another week, or when things are perfect. The perfect time to start is with the next urge. The next urge is always the perfect one, and each one will be different. And even if you give in to some, that does not mean this does not work. It means you still have to practice a little bit more. Keep using what I've taught you and adding pieces and parts of these lessons until it all starts clicking into place. I want you to be committed to the process taking way longer than you think it should. That's okay. Wanting it to be faster is no excuse for putting extra stress on yourself. Notice the urge to want it to be fast and just be like, no, ma'am. It's going to take as long as it takes. I'm either in this to win it or I'm not in it. Give yourself the gift of a decision to now be saying no to your urges. So there are three ways to take new action when you have these urges. And I wanted you to understand that you're not really having to do anything. But when you have these urges, I want you to, like, try things out to see what works for you. Number one is just inaction. And this happens to me a lot. You just go about your day as if you don't want to overeat or buffer. So for example, when I'm working and I get tired, I often want to take a break and just eat. I just want that, like, little moment of peace, right? Well, what I do is I notice when I'm having an urge and I just keep working and I focus on my schedule. I'm going to tell you, there's some days it's not loads of fun and it can be some distraction, but I just keep working with my urge and my thoughts of wanting to take a break, but I don't stop. I just keep doing. And it eventually does go away. And I also get my work done. And it allows me to ask myself, what might be so uncomfortable about my work right now? Maybe it's something new. Maybe it's something more challenging than I'm used to. Maybe I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get it done, or I'm worried that it won't be good enough. But I'd rather know that than to eat and not know that. The second is alternate action. So this is, you have an urge and you know, like, this is really good for people who typically have urges like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or people that have urges at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, because they, you know, that's when everybody goes to bed. you do something you like or you need to do when the urge hits. I like often will go on a walk or I'll call someone. Like I'll have an urge in the evenings and like my boys are wanting to, eat dinner a little bit later than I would like. And what I'll do is I'll like, okay, well, I'm just going to go take a walk and I'm going to give myself 30 minutes and I'm going to do something for myself. Typically, making it something that you'll enjoy is always the best, especially in the beginning. I see too many people decide, like, if they're witching hours at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they try to plan to clean some toilets. You do not want to distract from your urges, but it's okay to plan some kind of something that allows you to care for yourself a little bit. Whatever you were going to be doing when you were eating, you have that time available. You might as well use it. And just acknowledge you're having an urge and then decide to do something positive for yourself so that you can start making that mental connection that when you have an urge, you can create a new habit of reaching for a journal, going for a walk, drinking some water, or whatever it is. But you start making the connection that you take care of yourself when you feel an urge. And then the last one is called still observation. This is exactly what it sounds like. You're going to sit or lie down when you have an urge. Some of you will need to do this, especially like at night. You're going to literally close your eyes and you're just going to take deep breaths and you're just going to listen to all the thoughts that you have, but you're not going to judge them or argue with them or wish them away. And what I would do is if I did still observation, guys, I would write about it after and I would congratulate myself a little on the back end for doing it. So step 5 is reinforcing the new you. The more you celebrate and make a big fucking deal out of yourself, the more you are likely to keep doing this new behavior. You can't set yourself up for extra disappointment by getting too excited. You increase the likelihood of future success the more you allow and teach your brain to experience the new actions as good. Do not sit there and be like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to do this. Guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're way better off of being successful if you will just reinforce yourself. Believe it's working. You will not fall harder. What will happen is you will have an overeat. You will maybe one day give into an urge and you just start back. That's it. If you've been reinforcing yourself, you know it's not the end of the fucking world. If you've been sitting there telling yourself, I don't want to get my hopes up, guess what? The first time you make a mistake, you proved yourself you shouldn't get your hopes up and then you shit all over yourself. We're going to like practice not shitting on ourselves anymore. So you can verbally congratulate yourself. Reward yourself in non-food ways. We do not reward ourselves with food. We are not dogs. You can tell your accountability partners. Say it out loud. Or just write in your journal about the pride and joy you're starting to feel on the inside every time you navigate an urge. So the more you start experiencing all this pleasure in yourself, pleasure in the new activities that don't involve food, you will start to feel more in control. But I'm going to tell you, at first, it won't feel like anything's happening. Those are considered authentic pleasures, and they don't feel as good as an in-the-moment high of a quick decision, spontaneous foods and drink, packed with a lot of dopamine right behind them. Authentic pleasure is literally about small wins that don't feel amazing in the moment unless you mentally make them amazing. But they can feel amazing, and they collect, and they add up over time. They often feel very unnoticed, like this hockey stick. And they don't even feel all that great at first when you're doing a lot of experiencing urges and redirecting your mind. But then one day they start adding up and you start feeling stronger and you start feeling motivated and the momentum and you're starting to see progress. And you just suddenly feel so much better. It's your job to remind yourself at all times what you are gaining, where you're going, and why it's worth it in order to teach yourself that authentic pleasure was what we were intended to have all along in this journey of life. So what's left when you take out the buffering? What's left is where your true work begins. Buffering was hiding things standing in your way of losing weight. It was hiding your goals. It's hiding your life. It's in that empty space where the buffering was happening that things that we don't like about ourselves reside. The goals we might be scared of are. And you'll have that time to just notice your life. And I will also tell you what else is sitting there. It's some pretty amazing shit that you've been ignoring because you've been beating yourself up for so long. You start noticing some of the important people in your life, some of the accomplishments you do have, but you've not allowed yourself to even experience because of all this stuff you have around your food. So many of you have an amazing life. So many of you have amazing people that you forget are amazing because you're so focused on beating the shit out of yourself, all because you eat when you have an urge. So I want you just to prepare yourself that you are going to experience your life when you no longer have the buffering. And you are very equipped to do it. I know you are. You're in PNP. We are teaching you how to do that. We have coaches and we have everything you need here to help you experience your life with authenticity and help you decide where you want to take your life. If you can say no to urges, I know you can handle all the thoughts that are going to come up behind your life. Most of you, handling these urges is the toughest thing that you've ever gone through. And once you've done that, the rest of it, it's for you to create. Often people will tell me they're scared of what they'll find in that empty space. And I will tell you, what's left is what you have, whether you eat through it or not. It's just there. Food isn't solving it. Food's not hiding it. It's simply giving you problems to deal with while still having the exact same life. So don't be afraid that without food, you're going to find all kinds of pain, suffering. I'm going to leave my husband. I'm going to blow up my life. You will likely just notice your life, and then you'll use the same skills we used to work on your urges to work on your life. You'll decide what you want to think and feel. You'll notice your judgments that you've never seen before. You'll take ownership of all your feelings. You'll leave behind blame. You'll leave behind your past. You'll start leaving behind your insecurities because you'll finally have the space to decide to do more for yourself. Without buffering and overeating, you start seeing you have more to give to the people you love most in this world, including yourself. You don't feel so drained by your constant highs and lows in your mind and your body. You start creating your life instead of falling victim to it.